One issue that often comes up is, you know, how often do we hear oral arguments? I saw a judge spoke just within the last week or two and was predicting that within 10 or 20 years, all oral arguments will be conducted by video conference. And this saves the clients money, reasons like that. I don't think our court will do that. I hope not. It just troubles me. I think there's something about having that in-person interaction. And, you know, we have this beautiful courthouse in New Orleans. Might as well use it. But if you look at this number, you might think the Fifth Circuit, only 22% of cases get oral argument. So you might think we're on the low end. This was a recent study that was done. But again, if you look at private civil cases, I think that 22% is skewed by the fact we have so many criminal appeals, which often are repeat issues. If you look at paid civil cases with paid lawyers, we're near the top, just a 3% off being the second highest. Over half of private civil cases do get oral argument. You see, only 13% of our opinions are issued. Again, I think if I broke that down, that would be higher in civil, but still probably well below a third of civil cases are published. There has been an effort on the court to publish more, to make the case. Of course, the whole published, unpublished doesn't really, that's really not the right description. People still use it. Now everything is on Westlaw. But published, meaning precedential, only 13%. There has been a push to have more precedential opinions. And I think that number has gone up a bit, but it's still something we struggle with. And I will say, you know, before I got on the court as an outsider, I thought, oh, it's why do we have all these unpublished opinions? You know, it's almost like you have a second tier of justice. But having been on the court now and seeing how overwhelming the case law is, I do understand why the number of unpublished cases is so high. You try and give the same attention as to the outcome in every case. But then when you write a published opinion, there's a lot more time and effort that goes into the actual writing and making sure that, you know, this sentence isn't going to get misinterpreted. And there's just not the time to do that in a majority of the cases. Oh, this was interesting. This was a recent study that was done on affirmance rates. And it's just taking 1 year, so it's not that significant of a sample. But there's actually a lower affirmance rate in trials than in summary judgment cases, which is somewhat surprising because we get summary judgment, we get de novo. We look at it just like the district court did. Whereas with trials, there's deference to the fact finders. I also thought, again, not a significant difference, but jury trials had a slightly higher affirmance rate than bench trials. And one thing as a former district judge I've always thought is odd. I mean, the jury just has to say, we find for the plaintiff and he gets $100,000, right? They don't have to explain it. A bench trial, the judge has to explain. And so then we get some of these opinions nitpicking what the district judge said in a bench trial ruling, which I always think is odd because a jury just has to give a bottom line answer. This is a sense of the workload per judge. 139 opinions, that's what, about one every 3 days that the judge is in charge of authoring. 179 en banc petitions get filed with the court each year. We typically hear, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7, between 5 and 10, I'd say, a year get granted. Although with the en banc, it's not just a matter of the case going en banc. Oftentimes a petition for rehearing en banc won't result in full court review, but what it will result in is modification of the majority opinion. I think with the en banc process, you shouldn't look just at how many cases go en banc, but there are a fair number of cases where the petition leads to some modification of the panel opinion. All right, so now we get to the main thing I wanted to talk about. You just saw how busy the court is. Plenty of cases, but like I said, judges lament that we don't see the number of admiralty cases we used to. So, you know, sometimes people just have this perception that doesn't turn out to be right. So I was curious and dug up some statistics. And it's actually really stark how big the decline has been. So look at 1981. Now these are nationwide. The top number is nationwide district court filings in federal court. About 5,000 district court filings in 1981. About 20% of that today. About 1,000 maritime, this is personal injury, filings in district court. You can see a pretty steady decline By the 90s, you had almost half of that 1981 number, 3,000. And then it's been a continued steady decline. The darker shade of green is district courts within the circuit. So in 1981, 2,700, which was over half, and now it's down to 366. So you've seen the same decline within the district courts of the Fifth Circuit. I don't think I put a slide up for it, but by far the biggest district for maritime filings is not here in the Southern District, but it's the Eastern District of Louisiana. And this is just the same chart in percentage terms. So you can see the Fifth Circuit at 56%. So the Fifth Circuit share has gone down as well, down to about a third. I think that's still the highest of any circuit, but it's not quite as dominant in maritime personal injury cases as it used to be. Now, one question on the 1981, I should have teased that out. You know, that was when the split happened with the 5th and 11th. So those 1981 numbers, the 56%, I'm guessing, is the old 5th.